It's a Mario time! Let's-a-go!
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 56 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we're here to give you the latest and greatest theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. So, Seth, how have you been this week?
I've been great this week. We have had a ton of rain here in Orlando. The water in my pool is like overflowing.
Nice.
Which is great for the grass. It meant that I only had one visit to a theme park this week. But I got to stop by Universal, and it was pretty cool. They've now opened the haunted houses at Universal Studios Florida on the weekdays, not just the weekends. And I was able to just walk into both of them like multiple times with no wait. So that was pretty nifty. Even though the rest of the park is getting pretty busy. There were like hour and a half waits for most of the major rides. So even on the weekdays, the crowds are starting to creep back. This has been a busy holiday weekend from what I've seen. We'll see what it's like tomorrow on Monday.
Yeah, I've been watching the live streams, and I feel like every time I tune in, the crowds just get bigger and bigger.
Absolutely. Yeah, the days of it just being totally empty in the parks, other than Animal Kingdom. Animal Kingdom's still pretty slow.
Aw.
But all the other parks, you know, it's starting to pick back up. So I got to do something really cool outside of the parks. There's this thing going on in Orlando called Bright Young Things. It's run by a group called the Creative City Project, and normally they have like a big street fair at this time of year. Obviously we're not doing street fairs, so instead they're doing this kind of socially distanced immersive outdoor theatrical experience. You pick one of four storylines, and small groups of like eight people at a time get led all around downtown. It takes about an hour and a half, and there's dance and there's music and there's fight choreography. It kind of takes you to all different landmarks downtown, and depending on which storyline you see, there's different characters that interact. You could do it four different times if you wanted. I thought it was really neat. It happened to be pouring rain as I was doing it. They warn you to bring an umbrella, but the actors just kept right on going, like performing and dancing out in the middle of a giant rainstorm. It was just really different from sitting at home watching Zoom videos over and over. It was a really cool experience, and everyone was wearing masks and socially distanced. So, it was a really cool way to see some live theater again.
That sounds awesome.
And how was your week?
My week was good. Seth and I were talking before the show started, but I upgraded my internet. So if this seems a little more consistent, yay! We had Google Fiber installed. It took like a couple of hours, but my internet is awesome now.
So any issues you see are my fault this time.
We took Brody out in public for an extended period of time for the first time ever. Socially distant meet and greet with a couple of our friends who had never met him before. And he did really well, actually. I wasn't sure if he would like freak out because there'd be so many people.
So he's all healed up good.
Yeah.
Cone of shame is long gone.
He still has stitches in his nose, but those should dissolve in a couple of weeks. But he's doing really good. He can play a lot longer outside, be outside a lot longer in general. He's doing good. We're struggling with walking. He gets so distracted by people, cars, other dogs, and he, instead of like running up to them, he'll just freeze and stare. Until they walk away or drive away. So we're working on it. But the sports thing I wanted to bring up was I've been kind of bored in our COVID quarantine thing. There's not a lot going on. So I've decided to pick up roller skating.
Ooh.
Yeah, my skates get here on Tuesday.
Now, these are old school roller skates, not roller blades.
Yeah, like quads, four-wheeled skates. Yeah.
So that's what I grew up in. Those of us who are children of the 70s spent a lot of Friday evenings going round and round in a circle on those roller skates.
It just seems fun, and I wasn't allowed to do it when I was a kid because my mom said I would break my arm because I'm clumsy. So I'm going to give it a try as an adult, and we'll see what happens.
So do you have very smooth sidewalks in your neighborhood?
Yeah. I've seen people say that parking garages, like going to the top of parking garages, are really good. Basketball courts, if they're empty. And our neighborhoods are pretty flat. And so I think it would be good to go rolling and walking Brody or something.
I've never tried one outside of a roller rink. And even then, falling hurts. So
I bought pads and everything. Yes. So
wear those pads. Wear a helmet.
Safety gear is always important. Yeah, I got everything. So I'm excited. It will probably be very painful, but I have high hopes for it.
And if you get good, you can join a roller derby league.
See, that would be awesome, but I'm scared of getting hit in the face.
Yeah, it's kind of a requirement.
But man, they're so tough and cool. Anyway.
We have to think up your roller derby name.
I know. Because they're always like puns, and I want that, but I don't want something that someone's already had.
Maybe a listener can write in.
Yeah, there was one I saw on Instagram who was Stevie Kicks.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, I love that. I'm so mad. But I don't know. I'll let you know how that goes. All right, I have a few updates for you as far as Disney Entertainment goes, not necessarily at the parks, but Disney on Ice is back. Well, it will be in about a month, with some unique seating setups. The Dream Big show specifically will be back in Dallas, Texas on November 6th. And the way that they're setting up seating is that they will have these things called seating pods set up in the arenas. And you have to buy out the entire pod, the whole thing. That sounds like a lot. And I feel like that already alienates smaller families unless you bring like grandma and grandpa with you and friends.
They are definitely not going after the single male demographic. So if you were, you know, like me, going to Disney on Ice and feeling extremely creepy for not having a child with you, now you will be both creepy and broke.
Yep. They have not said how much each of the pods are and how many seats are in each pod, but they have said that you can't move from your pod. Like, wherever you book is where you sit, no matter what.
Yeah. But on the plus side, you'll be able to get your snacks and merchandise delivered to your seat, which to me sounds like an improvement I'd like to see kept around at more arenas.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than fighting your way to the snack stand during intermission.
Ugh.
Or trying to flag down someone walking up and down the aisles. Being able to do it with a mobile ordering would be pretty neat.
Well, I've never been to Disney on Ice, but going to concerts and things in general, it's always a question of like, do I hit the merch table before or after? And being able to order it from your seat and then grab it on the way out relieves so much stress. For me.
Apparently this will have a pre-order system, so you'll be able to see what's going to be available before you even show up, and then you can have the argument with your kid over whether or not you're buying that glowing wand or t-shirt before you get to the arena.
Go ahead and lay down the law before you get there. No glowing wands.
Good luck with that.
Excuse me. Disney's Winter Summerland mini golf is reopening in November as well for all you mini golf aficionados out there. Florida residents and guests to Walt Disney World can check out the mini golfing fun from November 6th through January 30th. And it has two courses of 18 holes designed to trip you up and do some cute things. I have never played either Fantasia Gardens or Winter Summerland, but I've watched videos.
Really?
Yeah.
It's been a few years for me. I the Fantasia one I thought was really ahead of its time. When it came out, there was nothing else like that. The other one is cool in a way. It's the Winter Summerland is more of like a traditional kind of mini golf, and there's some fun stuff, but it's not super Disney. I think it's sad that they can't both be open at the same time, but yeah. Obviously there's just not enough demand. So it's good that at least one of the two courses is going to be open.
Yeah, and Fantasia Gardens, if that's the one you prefer, mm-hmm. will have its seasonal closure starting November 5th, but it will reopen on January 31st of next year.
Yes, so you got a few weeks to get it in, or else you got to wait till next year.
Yeah. Over at Chef Mickey's at the Contemporary, character dining is coming back in a sort of way. The characters will be returning on December 16th, similarly to how Hollywood, Minnie's Hollywood Dine is operated, I would assume, just like walking by and waving. But they also get new menu items that sound and look pretty tasty, I'm not going to lie.
They all look pretty good, but we got to talk about this banana French toast with espresso crème on top. And what? Oh, I mean, I feel like I would be in a diabetic coma before breakfast was over, but it would be so good.
You would also be like hopped up on caffeine as well, so it's like a double whammy.
Yeah. And I, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of buffets on Disney property, especially ones that attract a lot of kids in a hotel. But I might be into Chef Mickey's if it is family service and they are, you know, individually plating these items for you as opposed to pulling them off of a steam table.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it at length before, how we're not super big fans of the buffet.
Yeah. But these pictures of these individually plated entrees that they're adding make them look really, really appealing.
Yeah. Family style. All you mm-hmm. care to eat. Yep. I was trying to see if it specifically said they would bring it to your table, but I assume family style mm-hmm. just covers that. But if any of you go to Chef Mickey's once this stuff gets introduced, try it out and let us know how delicious this French toast is. It looks so good.
You can absorb the calories for us and then let us experience them vicariously.
Speaking of food, I hope you guys have had dinner. Over at ABC Commissary and Hollywood and Vine at Disney's Hollywood Studios, they have launched some new menu items, with ABC Commissary pretty much flipping the script on their entire menu, with all sorts of sandwiches and salads, tacos, and rice bowls.
So Disney Hollywood Studios is my park pass reservation for this week. I'm going to be there on Tuesday. I'm going bright and early, and I'm going to be hungry for lunch. So it looks like I might be trying out one of these new items at the ABC Commissary. I'm going to be frank with you. It's never been one of my personal favorite restaurants over the years. They've had lots of different menus. They've tried lots of different things. They've gone from average to below average. There was a short time where they had a fried shrimp and fish platter that was pretty decent. If anyone knows where to get a decent fried fish on Disney property now that Columbia Harbor House is closed, please let me know. But I digress. The two that are really appealing to me on this new menu are the pork carnitas tacos and the shrimp curry rice bowl. So I'm kind of torn between which of those I might try. Definitely a very California menu.
Yeah.
A lot of Mexican influence, lighter, you know, plant-based stuff. Definitely different from the, like, steak and ribs, I think. That was what they were serving not too long ago.
Yeah. So that plant-based curry rice bowl with tofu sounds really good. Pineapple marinated tofu, yum.
You know, I might go for the plant-based bowl if it was like tempeh or something. But I'm just not the biggest tofu. Like, tofu for me has to be done really well. Otherwise, I just end up pushing it to the side.
I really like tofu. Tempeh is not my favorite just because I feel like it falls apart as soon as you take a bite. I also really like seitan.
Seitan, yes.
Yeah,
I love the texture of seitan.
It's so good.
We could have good. A whole new podcast about plant-based protein substitutes.
Oh, man. Be great. It's so hard to find good ones, but once you find them, they're like gold.
We're going to get fined by the FCC for mentioning product brand names. But there are these meaty crumbles that are so good for making manwiches. We'll do another episode on some of
them. We'll tell you all about our favorite plant-based foods. Over at Minnie's Hollywood and... Sorry, I was reading a million things at once. Hollywood and Vine... They're offering some new appetizers, the farmhouse tossed salad bowl and the plant-based chopped salad. I thought most salads were plant-based, but...
I guess that means that there's no dairy in the dressing.
Yeah.
Maybe no cheese or bacon.
And then there's some new entrees like garlic and cracked black pepper prime rib of beef.
That's not plant-based either, but that's not.
No. plant-based pan-seared king trumpet mushrooms.
Mm.
I do love mushrooms.
Yeah.
Macaroni and cheese with shrimp. That sounds heavenly. And then some desserts. Now the desserts sound really yummy. I'm weak for s'mores anything. And that chocolate s'mores pie. Is calling my name. And then for kids, they
Hopefully that s'mores pie is also all you can eat.
Right? That's all I would have. Just give me 10 of those pies, please. But yeah, you can check these out. There's plenty of plant-based options if that's your bag. And if it's not, there's a whole lot more options for you. But it's cool to see the restaurants get a food refresh. Over at Universal Orlando, now until the end of the month, annual pass holders can get an exclusive VIP Thrills tour that visits 4 different places. And I want to get your thoughts on these places because it seemed kind of not what I would pick when I was in AP. This tour is $59.99 plus tax. It's discounted. Keep that in mind. You can book it through the UOAP lounge in the park or by calling the VIP call center. And it will take you to the Incredible Hulk coaster, Revenge of the Mummy, Transformers The Ride 3D, and Green Eggs and Ham Cafe. And according to the website, these are 4 of the resort's most popular locations specifically chosen by annual pass holders. Now, Seth.
I'm not quite sure what to say. First of all, I think it's great the way that Universal has been thinking outside the box in order to come up with ideas of perks that they can throw to annual pass holders to make it up for, you know, we've lost a lot of things this year. And I think Universal probably more than Disney, you know, Disney's basically been like, you want a refund or not, you know, that's it. Universal's been like, you know, they extended a lot of annual pass holder appreciation month perks and stuff. And it's great they've come up with another one. Having said that, I don't know many annual pass holders who want to spend another $60. So I'm not entirely sure what you're getting for your money. Incredible Hulk coaster, yes, especially lately with the social distancing and the lockers, there can sometimes be a bit of a line for that. So jump in the line for that, great. Revenge of the Mummy, it's still a fantastic ride. But it's one that most annual pass holders have probably been on a million times. Ditto with Transformers. And Green Eggs and Ham is actually, depending on what they are throwing in, you know, how, like, are you getting a souvenir can and a drink and a dessert? Like, are you getting a full meal at Green Eggs and Ham? Because Green Eggs and Ham is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But I can go with my annual pass holder discount and get a meal at Green Eggs and Ham for a lot less than $60. As a premier pass holder, I'm already getting express pass to all these rides. If they had thrown in Hagrid's,
yeah,
you know,
that's
maybe we can talk. You know, if they want, you know, if they wanted to do a Harry Potter themed one where you get to do all the attractions of Harry Potter and you get guaranteed to be picked in the wand show at Ollivander's and stuff, you know, something like that. We'll talk. This particular lineup, especially since, so you've got two locations in one park, two locations in the other. I don't know if they're using the train, walking you from one to the other. I guess they have VIP tour guides who have time on their hands. That's the only explanation for, I don't know who exactly this makes sense for.
Yeah, I want to know what who were the annual pass holders they polled that made these four places the most popular choices.
Especially since annual pass holders are already getting a discount right now on a full day express pass.
Yeah.
And, you know, after in the afternoons on the weekends, you can buy an after 4 p.m. express pass for $40. So I'm not sure what it is that you're getting for your money here, but
yeah,
you know, more power to them that they're thinking up of new things, and maybe there's someone out there that you've done this and it was a really good experience. Please let us know what we're missing. Please call in and tell us what it is that we're not seeing here.
We should set up a call-in line. Yes. And Universal, if you're listening, a Harry Potter one of these.
I should look in the comments. I hardly ever look in the comments while we're talking.
Is a brilliant idea. I would do that.
People had all sorts of things that I don't understand. Okay, so, and nothing about that. So, all right, well, never mind the comments then.
Moving on.
Right on.
We've got a Tron construction update for you. Our friend Theron went to ride I get them mixed up. It's not Autopia. It's Tomorrowland Speedway.
Yes.
He took a ride on these by himself to get us some beautiful pictures of Tron construction. Keep in mind, things have changed since he uploaded this, but I just wanted to give you guys a little update.
Yes, it is probably the only reason to ride the Tomorrowland Speedway and breathe in those fumes.
Ugh, I can still smell it.
We could probably do a whole episode on why Tomorrowland Speedway is bad and the Autopia in Disneyland is good, even though they're basically the exact same ride.
Yeah.
We won't do that. Instead, we'll talk about just how close that track comes right up to the track for the speedway. You know,
look at it.
And once there is, there is a canopy that is going over this whole thing that is going to obscure the track from view partially. But I still think that as those trains whiz around that bank that comes closest to the speedway, you're gonna hear it, you're probably gonna feel it if you're driving by at 2.5 miles an hour on one of the
little cars. I wonder, do they play music in the outside portion of the ride, or is it just coaster?
The last time I rode it, all I could hear was construction noise. And a little bit of the general background noise for Tomorrowland. You know, in Disneyland, there's some character to it. Like, the road is not just completely flat, there's some things to look at along the side of the road, and there's a little bit of, you know, there's a little bit of personality to the attraction. I would say that if you want to get a close-up look or a closer look at the Tron construction and you don't want to have to ride the Tomorrowland Speedway, what I do is I go into Storybook Circus and go all the way back to the queue for for Goofy's Bar or the Great Goofini, is what it's technically called now. And from line, you can get really close, right across the train tracks from the Tron construction, and get a pretty good angle that way without having to ride on the little cars.
Nice. And then avoid breathing in all those fumes.
Yes.
Look at this massive show building back here. I used to take this road as a cast member, and it was all dirt the last time I was on that. So to see that huge show building right there is crazy.
I have not personally been able to get out to Shanghai to ride it. I've watched plenty of POVs.
Same.
It's not... It's super intense coaster. I don't think it's going to compete with the Velocicoaster over in Universal in terms of intensity. I think people who are coaster nerds are probably might feel like it's a little tame. But I love the visuals of it. You know, I've always loved Tron, and you know, we've never had a cycle attraction my whole life growing up. I wanted one, and so I guess this is the closest we're going to get.
Maybe if it does really well, they will give us the Tron Legacy sequel that we deserve.
I believe that's the rumor, that there's a third Tron film inching into development.
But do we... It's got Jared Leto in it. That's a discussion for another day, my friend.
That's our third podcast, which will be about people in the movies that we hate. No, I don't hate anyone. I don't hate anyone.
I dislike their performances. I think that's a nice way of putting it.
He's done some good work over the years.
Yeah, some.
Ugh. Moving on.
Yes.
Let's talk about other things that I never thought would ever actually happen and am still kind of...
SeaWorld Abu Dhabi has set an opening year, which is nuts.
I get confused because I feel like there were so many SeaWorlds that were announced. I feel like at one point every city in the world had a SeaWorld announced, and there were four of them in the Middle East or something. Wasn't there one that was supposed to be on an island? They were going to build an island for it. That's not this one.
No. This one is also on an island.
This is also on an island, because everything in the Emirates is on an island.
Yeah.
Yes, United Arab Emirates, their first ever marine research, rescue, and rehabilitation center in 2022, which is really just around the corner. You know.
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly what 40% complete means. like how you decide, like 40%. You know, is actually done, or they've just like poured the concrete and gone vertical, because there have been other projects in this part of the world that have started and not completed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious what the financial arrangement for this park was, because SeaWorld is not a corporation that has a lot of extra cash to be building something right now. I assume that this is more of a licensing deal where I guess Miral, which is a asset management company in the Middle East, is putting up most of that billion or so dollars.
Yeah.
So
12 billion.
Ooh. Yeah, so this is part of Yaz Island. This is one of those kind of mega entertainment projects that I feel like some of these were announced 10 years ago almost, and have went through one major recession and now are in a second Great Depression. Amazingly, you know, they're still moving along with this.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of amazed. And when this press release came out, I figured it would be something announcing that it was stopping or pausing and not, oh, we're full speed ahead.
Hey, I mean, that's good to see it open. I feel similarly to this, how I felt to the Lionsgate Movie World that opened there.
Right.
Yeah, because that one was like happening for such a long time. I was like, that's not actually going to open, is it? And it did.
It did, and also in that part of the world, the WB indoor theme park, which looks like it turned out great, and on our way to our trip to Japan, we will stop off here.
And these parks. I wish we could get a WB park over here, maybe with not as many flat rides as that one
right.
has.
I think it would be a Six Flags. Unfortunately, in America, but. Yeah, it's fascinating, and I'm also really fascinated how you are going to, if nothing else, keep the water cool enough for those big marine mammals who are more used to the North Atlantic than the Persian Gulf.
That's great question.
Yeah, the life support team for those, I assume they're going to have dolphins and whales. my hat's off to them figuring out how to make all that work.
Super cooling pools, right? Or something.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if they'll be entirely indoors. Can you imagine? I don't know.
I mean, that would be cool. We'll have to see when it opens. Over at Disney's Hollywood Studios, a new Disney Junior friend has made an appearance, though this is temporary, from what I understand. Mira, Royal Detective. It's a new animated series on Disney Junior. I believe it was announced at D23 2019 or something. It was announced a while ago. It's already airing. It's in its first season. And it follows Mira, a commoner in India, who is appointed to be royal detective by the queen in her fictional kingdom of Jalpur. And she's a part of the Disney Junior Cavalcade. They have a branded banner, which is very cool, and a wrapped Camaro? Is that a Camaro? I don't know cars.
I think it might be. It's a Chevy.
Yeah. Well, it's cool. I have mixed feelings about the Disney Junior head sculpts, but she looks great.
Yeah. Do you wonder about, you know, if this is only a temporary short thing, is she being shipped off somewhere else? Maybe she's on a tour, or do they invest in one of these big head sculpts? The rest of her body is obviously pretty much just the costuming department could probably throw something together. I always wonder how much one of those heads costs and which department is paying for it when it's only being used as a short-term promotional item like this. Yeah. Maybe the television studio put up the bill.
Maybe. Disney's official Twitter said that this was only offered this weekend, though that seems like a lot of work to wrap a whole car and have these banners printed and costumes made just for one weekend. Maybe
if people thronged the streets and shouted her name, they will add her to the Disney Junior show that they're doing.
The only thing that I can think of is there's a Disney Junior theater/show coming to Disneyland Paris at some point. It was called Studio D, but then they changed it, and I can't remember what the new name is. But maybe they're training for that? I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of that's Disney Junior related. Yeah. But
so it's good
characters.
To see a new face in the park.
Yeah. This one, I have some thoughts about it. Last week, Disney announced that Soul, which was supposed to come out next month, I believe, is now debuting on Disney Plus on Christmas Day, included with your subscription. No premium access here.
I have been hearing nothing but good buzz about the movie.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a reflection of whether they think it's a good film or not, because, the director has a great track record. I've heard positive things. This is sad that they don't think that even by Christmas, I guess this was supposed to come out in November, so that they've pretty much given up on any box office for 2020. This is pretty much the end of theatrical releases for this year, at least for Disney.
Yeah, tough. Also, the fact that they're not doing premium access again. Mm-hmm. To be fair, they're putting it on Disney Plus well after it would have released in theaters, but still. This makes me wonder how Mulan did, like what the numbers were for premium access, because they also, I think within the past couple of weeks, added Mulan to like Amazon Prime, Vudu, and other streaming services as well.
Yes. Yeah, you can purchase Mulan now to own, even if you don't have a Disney Plus subscription. So they branched out. Obviously, they're looking at other business models. I think early in the pandemic, tour got a lot of attention for making a lot of money in on demand and pay-per-view, and I think at first studios were really excited that business model would just, you know, okay, we can just slide right into this.
Yeah.
And I think now they're kind of realizing, looking at the numbers, that it's not that easy.
Yeah.
And I think especially what we've seen with Disney delaying Marvel movies way out till far next year. Yeah. They're willing to sit on a movie. They're willing to just not make any money for now in hopes of making more money later on. And that's kind of what they're looking at. But if you're Regal Cinemas, that's not good news.
Oof. Yeah. I was really excited to see this one. I thought the premise was really existential, and
it's a great cast. Yeah,
Pete Docter.
I'm happy
miss.
That I'll be able to sit at home on Christmas Day, and you know, Jews, we traditionally go out to the movie theaters, but on Christmas Day, but I will be staying in and watching movies this year.
You get to cry in the privacy of your own home.
Exactly. Yeah. I have a feeling that it'll probably be another up.
And just
making me weep.
Coco was like my last one that really tore me up. That Coco is like the pinnacle of Pixar for me. But yeah. I'm very excited to see this one. I love Jazz. I think the premise is really interesting. Pete Docter is just like, he's so, so good. I'm very excited.
A lot of talent in this movie.
Yeah. They also said that they're making a documentary, like a making of, for Disney Plus. I really enjoyed the Frozen one, even though it showed just what a cluster making that movie was.
Yeah, you know, that I was really surprised. I thought that Frozen Frozen 2 documentary was just kind of be a puff piece. And it, you know, it wasn't quite The Sweat Box or Waking Sleeping Beauty, but it was surprisingly honest for a Disney-made documentary.
I found it really refreshing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So keep on the lookout for that one. This happened late Friday night.
You got to say it. You got to just say it. Oh, God.
A Space Mountain movie is now in development for theatrical release. They made sure to specify that. From one of the writers and executive producers of the untitled Obi-Wan Kenobi series for Disney Plus.
For those of you listening, that's my brain exploding.
I wish I had metal chair to slam against my face.
Disney has a really uneven track record when it comes to turning attractions into movies.
Yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Amazing.
Well, mostly because especially the first movie has very little to do with the actual ride.
I think the trilogy is perfect. Leave the trilogy and then get rid of
the first three films. Yes.
The first three are so good.
Something like The Haunted Mansion with Eddie Murphy, I think that maybe that people are getting nostalgic about that.
I actually watched that last week.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
And how'd that go for you? Has it aged like fine wine?
Well, I loved it as a kid because I was just obsessed with Haunted Mansion. But as an adult and knowing that Guillermo del Toro wanted to do a Haunted Mansion movie, it just made me mad because I was like, they had so much good here that if you take out the Evers family and the realty subplot and the pretty much everything that isn't inside the mansion itself, that would have been a decent movie, if anything. Yeah. But
you just have Terrence Stamp and just him.
Yeah.
And then you get down to stuff like the Country Bears.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Woof.
So it's a mixed track record. So trying to visualize a Space Mountain movie
makes your brain hurt.
Yeah.
So what they've said, which isn't a lot, to be fair, Joby Harold has been brought on to write the script. There are no story details. However, they said that it will be a family adventure style film, and that since there are no specific ride scenes that they can pull from, like Pirates, it will instead serve as an inspiration of sorts. And that's what makes me nervous.
I think this is going to be inspired by, in the same way the movie The Lawnmower Man was inspired by a Stephen King story, which he sued them over.
Oh, no.
I, Yeah. I'm trying to think of what elements. Like, there isn't even like a character in the queue.
Nope.
Or, I mean, maybe they could take all the old post-show stuff from that used to be. Most of it's kind of defunct in the exit of the Florida Space Mountain. But, I mean, there isn't even really common theme or aesthetic between the California one and the Florida one and the Paris yeah. one. You know, which Space Mountain do you start? Now, if they wanted to do it based on the From the Earth to the Moon, like make a remake.
That would be cool.
From the Earth to the Moon, based on the Paris Space Mountain with like steampunk style.
I'm here for that. Get that, Tony Baxter on the phone.
That'd be pretty nifty. But I feel like we had Tomorrowland movie, which was probably as close to a Space Mountain movie.
Yeah, I didn't hate that.
No,
people didn't really like it. I liked it.
I love the first 20 minutes.
I like Brad Bird.
And the last 15 minutes. There's a lot of stuff in the middle there that could be tightened.
Yeah, I guess I just, when I read this, I sent it to Josh, who was in another room, and I just hear him go, oh, no.
Now, before we get too hard on Disney theme park movies, the bit I've seen of Jungle Cruise makes it look like it could, like, break the curse. You know, it could be a really fun ride.
yeah.
Pardon the pun.
I have to say, I am cautiously optimistic about Jungle Cruise if we ever get to see the dang thing.
If it ever comes out.
Right. I just, my main thing about when these movies get made is if they're really successful, the rides change. Mm. And I really don't want an animatronic of
rock.
Dwayne Johnson in the ride. I don't want that. That's weird.
He already has one terrible ride in Orlando. He doesn't need
one is enough. But we'll see what happens. I will keep an eye on this and keep you updated. This guy is going to be busy working on Obi-Wan. They don't start shooting till next March. They had to go through rewrites, so who knows?
This movie is not coming out anytime.
No,
in the immediate future. So,
side note: I think Phantom Manor would make an excellent movie.
Oh,
that would be great, Disney. If you're listening, that one's for free. Now, Seth, you've got this going on, and I wanted to give you some time to do some shameless plugging.
Thank you.
Yeah.
and it's okay to shamelessly plug this because it's on behalf of a really good cause. I am helping out behind the scenes on behalf of Attractions Magazine with We Party On, Bill and Ted's Excellent Halloween Reunion. This is happening on October 22nd. It's a live virtual event that's happening on our YouTube channel. And if you go to tinyurl.com/WePartyOn, it will take you to a Facebook event that's got all the details. Basically, if you are a fan of Bill and Ted's Excellent Halloween Adventure at Universal Studios Florida Halloween Horror Nights, these are the creators and the cast members of the original show, 1992 through 1998, what a lot of us consider to be the golden years of the show. Getting back together online, we're going to talk about everything from how the show was originally conceived, how it was cast, how they rehearsed it, how they built the props, you name it. A lot of memories from those early years. It's going to go for about an hour and a half.
Ooh.
And the event is, I'm sorry, 2.5 hours. It starts
at
8 o'clock.
Whoa.
Starts at 8 o'clock. I plan to go to 10:30. So there's a lot of material. On behalf of Greater Orlando Performing Arts Relief, which is a group in association with St. Luke's Church here in Orlando that is supporting theme park performers and other people who are in the arts industry here in Orlando who are, which is really needed right now. And this whole thing has been organized by Jason Sorrell, who if you have a collection of Disney books, you might recognize the name. He wrote the book, official book of Pirates of the Caribbean, Haunted Mansion, Imagineering the Disney Mountains, those kind of things. He was at both the Disney Disney Imagineer and worked for Universal Creative, and he was one of the original people working on Bill and Ted. So he's brought all the old cast together, and it should be a good time. And best of all, you don't need to register in advance. You don't need to buy a ticket. It's totally free. We're just providing a link and encouraging you to donate half of Bill and Ted to GoPar.
And you can find all of these links at attractionsmagazine.com.
Absolutely.
Search Bill and Ted.
Yep.
This sounds really fun. I am so sad that I never got to see Bill and Ted before they stopped doing it, which I feel was a bit premature now that we've gotten Bill and Ted 3 or Bill and Ted Face Music.
This would have been a great year to bring them back.
Yeah, it would have.
Let's hope they can make a triumphant return. Maybe 2021. Keep your fingers crossed. Who knows?
Oh, man. Can you think of all the jokes that they would make? Oh, they'd be awful. But look at this attendee list of people who are going to show up. It's quite long.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's crazy because Brittany has her work cut out for her this week. She's got to teach me how to run the board for our streaming service. And I think we can only have like 10 people total at a time. So yeah,
10 people counting you.
We've got like people and we're having to break it up into these little groups. Jason is organizing the whole thing. It's going to be like Jason, if you ever went to like back when there were Star Wars weekends, he used to like host the Q&As with Warwick Davis and stuff. So if anyone can like host a reunion show and figure out how to break it down and keep it moving, it's Jason. So I will just be silently pushing the buttons and hoping that that it doesn't all crash.
I'm sure you will do just fine. It's not as hard as it looks, but I highly encourage you guys to go and support. It's for an excellent cause, something that we really should support right now. Things are tough in Central Florida, so any help that we can offer, I think we should. But I'm excited for you. It sounds great.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. A lot of people that with back in the day and have not spoken to in like 20 years, so
it's
like a high school reunion.
I was just about to say that's what it sounds like.
And I skipped
like
my high school reunions.
Mine's coming up, and I'm probably gonna skip mine too in a couple years. For main attraction, we have some actual big news.
Yay, actual announcement.
An actual announcement.
Universal, 2 weeks in a row. What Universal is supposed to be the one that never announces anything until it's open. Now actually giving us, like, seasons. I mean, it's not an exact date, but it's a season.
They said the theme park heads need to be fed, so let's feed them. Super Nintendo World is now opening in spring 2021,
Yay!
Which, if you've been paying attention to the news, Japan is working on opening up their travel again to people outside the country.
Yes. They do not want to open it and not have people be able to come and see it. So hopefully the stars will align and early-ish next year. When does spring start in Japan? Is it different than here in Florida?
Yeah, because they have like Golden Week and when the cherry blossoms come in, mm-hmm. and that's like in April or March, I think. I don't know the holidays, but yeah. I would expect anywhere from March to May. I think that's a safe bet.
It sounds like it would be a great time to finally take a trip out of the country.
Hey, there you go. They also showed us some concept art for a few non-attraction related offerings in the park. This actually opens up this week when you're listening to this. On October 16th, the world's first Mario Cafe and store pop-up will open in the Hollywood area of Universal Japan. And it looks really cute.
It is so adorable. First of all, it's a little trippy because their Hollywood section is very similar to the one in Orlando. So they took Schwab's Pharmacy, which is where you can get a Dole Whip on the, like, 2 hours a week it's open. And the dark room, which is, like, where there's a green screen photo op. And it looks like ours on the outside, but then on the inside, it's Mario.
Yeah.
It's adorable.
Look at the food, you guys. So the Mario Cafe, you'll have like these mushroom reminiscent tables and
a stool.
Yes, and then the wall bricks look like Super Mario, like the old school side scroller. The food is quite interesting, I believe. Well, I had it written down. I think this is like grape and some kind of cheese pancake sandwich. And this is like a strawberry pancake sandwich. And then they have themed drinks that have mustache straws.
I hope we get the crazy stuff like this, America. I have a feeling like they will have to tone it down a little for us Americans. But yeah, it's so colorful and it perfectly captures the spirit of the games. And they keep talking, whose cap? It's my cap. Whose cap is the theme on all this merchandise, which leads me to believe that Mario caps are going to be the Mickey Mouse ears of Universal Japan. Like,
yeah, I could see it. So it's like, whose cap? It's yours. I love the all over print shirts that are such a big thing in Japan. Japan always has such great and whimsical food and merchandise when it comes to the parks. In America, that's not necessarily the case, but I hope that they'll make an exception because it's Nintendo. Oh, here's a look at what the shop will look like. Obviously, the merchandise is not representative of what will actually be sold there, but I'm super, super excited. The gift shop will offer a variety of things, all themed to Super Mario characters. Stuff like pouches, smartphone cases, keychains, t-shirts, hats, all sorts of things. Now, this land is supposed to also open at Universal Studios Hollywood, Universal Orlando someday, and Universal Singapore. but since Epic Universe is now paused indefinitely, who knows when it's going to open in Orlando.
Hollywood is well along its way. Hollywood's going to happen. I don't think that'll be 2021. I think they'll want to stagger it. Even if it was done in 2021, they'll probably want to hold it till 2022. You know, Orlando was supposed to be the third one. I'd take bets that this one in Singapore might happen before one opens here in Orlando.
I haven't seen any updates on it since they announced it a year or two ago.
There was a lot of buzz that maybe now the Epic Universe is paused, that they'd go back to the original plans, which came very close to happening, which was Super Nintendo World, where Kid Zone is in Universal Studios Florida.
I wouldn't be mad at it.
There are certain contractual things that Universal has committed to opening it by a certain time, and there's only so far they can let that slip without having to renegotiate a contract.
Yeah.
So, but I think that, you know, we haven't seen any moves to, you know, put up construction walls in Kid Zone yet. I think it might be quite a while before we see Nintendo in Orlando. It was supposed to be sooner, and now it's probably going to be later.
But we also got a photo update that Theron worked on for us of what Super Nintendo looks like in Japan, and it looks like a Crayola marker set exploded on my screen.
Yes.
It looks incredible.
It is so colorful, and it's so kinetic, too. When you see it with the Yoshi ride in motion and all the little Yoshis marching along the track, it's like the glory days of having the People Mover and the Astro Orbiters in Tomorrowland. Just that kind of visual overload of just things moving everywhere you look.
Yeah, it reminds me of playsets I had as a kid. I feel like that it's so enclosed off of everything else. It has this prolonged reveal tunnel through the warp pipe that you'll go through here. I hope it plays like noise, like the pew, 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 and you go through.
It looking at these aerial photos, it really looks like one of those toys that's kind of like in a lunchbox or a little box, and you know, you unfold it and it's a little diorama.
Like
inside.
A Polly Pocket thing?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like one of those, except life size. Everything is just so perfectly round, and you know, in the same sort of way that when they built Seuss Landing, everything had that kind of Dr. Seuss curve to it. Mm-hmm. Everything in here has that perfect, you know, Super Mario that look to it that you know, just kind of pops off the screen.
And specifically, if I'm not mistaken, this land takes its art style from Super Mario 3D World on the mm-hmm. DS. And not the hyper real Super Mario Odyssey or anything like that. But I'm so excited. I'm so excited to see ride POVs, though it will be really hard to have some self-control and not watch them.
Don't spoil it for yourself.
No, who am I kidding? I'm totally I have no self-control. I will be living my best Mario life when this thing opens and I can finally go to Japan. Next would be Animal Crossing Land and Pokemon. Pokemon's my dream. Maybe one day.
One step at a time.
Yeah, I can't get too greedy. But that's it for us. But before we go, I wanted to give some listener shout outs. We had a lot of people subscribe this week. Listener thank yous, if you don't know, are where we thank personally each new club and VIP subscriber the week after they subscribe. And you can get your name announced as well, actually, if you head over to attractionsmagazine.com/store. We have three different tiers of subscription that you can choose from. If you pick club or VIP, you get your name announced on the show. And you also support us, which is nice.
Yes, please support us.
Please. But for this week, I'd like to give a big shout out to Eric O, Ian Thompson, Kyle Plunkett, Anita Anderson, Neil Roper, David Hayes, and Michael Anderson. Thank you guys so much for being subscribers. And you guys all did it the same week. We haven't had this many people subscribe.
That's awesome.
In 1 week, in a hot minute. And we really appreciate it.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you, everyone. We really appreciate the support.
And if you are interested, we also have our fall 2020 issue available now. You can see it right there. It's got Cinderella on it. She's super lovely. You can pick it up now at attractionsmagazine.com/store. Now, Seth, if you would, tell the folks at home where they can find you on the interwebs.
I am Seth Kuberski, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @skuberski or at @theugseries. And if you're looking for my blog, that's at theunofficialguides.com.
And you can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram. And also every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractionsmagazine on Instagram, and of course, youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where if you're watching this right now, you are. Hi, we're waving at you. If you're listening, pretend. Waves don't make sounds, so
use
your imaginations. But until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, wear your mask, wash your hands, but most of all, have fun. We'll
Bye.
See you next time.